Good morning, one and all. I wish all the father a happy Father's Day. I actually forgot about Father's Day. This morning I went there and one of them, my friend saw me. Happy Father's Day. Wow. Today's happy Father. It's a Father's Day. And my message is not geared to the father. It geared to father and mother, adult and children. And has to do with storms of life. In every stage of life, in every chapter of life, we encounter certain kind of storm, certain kind of problem. What should we do? And today's message is on this. I hope you can understand and can apply into your life. And I thank God I have gone through many, many chapters of life. I can witness that God is very gracious, merciful, and always taking care of me. No matter where I am, in the light, in the darkness, the Lord is always there. And so we want to learn something from this passage. And this passage is taken from John chapter 6, verse 16 to 21, as well as Matthew chapter 14. They are parallel. And sometimes when we study, we must study all the gospel that talks about the same events. Then it will give you a full picture of what is going on. As you study this passage, you notice that after the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes, some Jews wanted to make Jesus king. Jesus, realizing their intention, and immediately departed from that area. But before he left, he sent a disciple by boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Then he withdrew to a nearby mountain to spend time alone with the Father. John chapter 6, verse 16 to 21 tells us that Jesus walked on the water to join his disciples on the boat. And the next day, it looked as though Jesus' plan had worked. After all, they had a Sea of Galilee between them and the multitudes. But the multitude had boats too. Before long, they had reached the other side of the Sea of Galilee to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. When they met him, they asked the Lord Jesus, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" You see, the crowd did not turn away from him. They liked the bread he had provided. That's why they go, like many of the Chinese. No matter any place there's a good food, they will go. And this is the same case. This is without money, free. So they go. And they want to experience that kind of food again. They wanted a savior who would meet their physical needs. They want a savior. They would bless them materially. That's the thing they want. Things of the world that they need. Our Lord's response was, you look carefully, John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus responded was, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracle, especially the feeding of the 5,000, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled." Because of the stomach. They are seeking for Jesus. And they continue to follow Jesus only because they want a savior who would supply them with material gifts. They were not interested in a spiritual savior who would save them from their sin. Do you see that? I think many people are like that. If you ask them, come to church, you know, no time. But you see it. 多多 I can't remember. All right, there are 10 million to win or whatever. Wow, you see the queue very, very long. When there's something offered to you free, a lot of people crowd up to get all the material blessings. So the people today has not changed. They were like the people of yesterday. Jesus did not deny that he was able to give them material blessings. The Lord is able to give. But he explained in his bread of life discourse, that's the teaching, that he was ultimately the Savior who will provide them with spiritual gifts. Gifts that money cannot buy, gifts that it cannot get in any other place except the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the reaction of the hearers to his loving words? You look carefully from John Gospel again, chapter 6, verse 66 and 67. I read to you. These two verses tell us, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Do you see that? When it comes to me, oh, I don't want, no more with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? All right, many people have left me. Will you go? Humanly speaking, there was a great possibility of losing those disciples who follow him. But Peter responded. Verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast a word of eternal life. Now, there are certain things to learn here. Why did Peter respond in this manner? In this way. When most of the people were deserting the Lord Jesus Christ, why Peter decided to go a different way? The key is found in the crisis the night before, when Peter and the rest of the 12 were struggling to cross the Sea of Galilee. That's the key. The Lord came and rescued them. That rescue made the difference in Peter's life. That rescue changed the life of Peter. Now, by comparing the parallel passages in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, and John chapter 6, we get the full picture of the experience that the disciple had that night. This event has had many interesting and false interpretations as theologians have tried to explain away this miracle of Christ, especially walking on the water. They try to explain it away. One of the theories claims that there were stones in the water, and since Jesus was walking near the shore, he was walking on the stone. All right? Not on the water, but walking on the stone. My friend, if this is the case, why did Peter begin to sing? Why? Why is this so? You see? Why did Peter begin to sing? Then another explanation translates the word on the sea. All right? On the sea. The word on as around. It can be translated that way. The way study Greek must be careful. You must know what word to use. And here it says around. And thus claiming that Jesus was walking around the lake. My friend, this interpretation tries to take away the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer to this interpretation. This was not what the author of the four Gospels intended to show the reader. What happened that night was a miracle, and Jesus was using this miracle to teach the disciple deeper spiritual realities. You see, a miracle is also called a sign. And when John spoke of a sign, he was pointing us to deep spiritual truth that moved the reader towards believing that Jesus is Christ, is the Son of God. That night of struggling on the storm, on the stormy sea, is a picture of those who follow Christ through the stormy sea. With this thought in mind, let us see what we can learn from this event. I want to spend more time on the book of Matthew, all right? In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, here says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciple to get into a boat and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." So the disciple went, the Lord Jesus Christ was on the mountain. Today our message is focused on the miracles. So we will not touch or explain about the prayer of Jesus on the mountain. So let us now look at the details of the event in verse 22, 24 to 28 in the Matthew of Matthew Gospels. You look at 22. Matthew 14, 22. All right, I go through. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciple to get into a ship." Notice the word constrain. The word constrain in King James Version or in ESV is made. Could be translated compel. To compel by force. Of persuasion, force the disciple, "You leave this place." All right? What does that mean? Why must we study all these things? This gives us a picture of the disciples reluctant to go. Therefore, Jesus need to do that, you see? But were persuaded or even compelled by the Lord to do so. They are not willing to go, but God, the Lord said, "You go that way." And probably he gave the boat a push into the water and into the direction he wants them to go. You notice that? All right, I will explain more as we come along. And so the disciples obeyed the Lord, and they were on the way there to the other side. And Matthew chapter 14, verse 24 tells us something happened. What was happened? All right, verse 24. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves." The disciples were several miles from the shore, and their boat was being tossed. The word tossed means beaten. Literally means tormented. Tormented. Okay, the wind were against them. They were sailing straight against the wind. What terror must have felt. They must have felt. They were going straight and the wind was blowing against them and there was storm. You see the trouble, the problem that they have encountered. They were in great trouble. But why were they in trouble? Why were they in trouble? Answer, because they had followed the direction given by the Lord. The Lord said, "This way, you go. And they went there, and there was great trouble, great storm, wind, everything coming against them. Right? The Lord said, "Go this way," and you go, and you have trouble. They would not be in trouble in the middle of the sea if they had not disobeyed the Lord and remained on land. But they obey, and they got trouble. Because they were obedient to the Lord, Jesus, and followed the direction given by the Lord, they were in great trouble. So I want you to take note, some of these sort of things is important in Scripture. If you know what to notice, you see a lot of things out of that. How can this be? The disciples were in trouble. They were in the middle of the sea and met with strong wind blowing directly against them. What does this mean? The Lord is saying, those of you who have decided to follow me, to be a Christian, to accept me as your Savior, are going to encounter troubles. All right? Paul say this way also. Paul say in this way, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You see, Paul mentioned this a few times. In other words, you are going to have trouble. You are going to have trouble. There are two ways where we might get ourselves into the stormy situation. There are two ways. Number one, is when we flee from the will of God. All right? You flee from the will of God and you will get into trouble. How do you know? A good example that we know is Jonah. God asked him to go to Nineveh. He flee from God. He went to another place. And a great storm was tossing the ship up and down. And eventually, Jonah landed where? In a fish belly. I'm in trouble. Jonah's trouble was a result of his disobedience. That's why he went into the stomach of the fish. Of course, he was saved later on. It was a different case from the disciple. The disciple were in the storm because they were obedient to the Lord's instruction. Those who decide to follow the Lord and God gave him their those who follow the instruction of the Lord, those who decided to follow the Lord and gave him their allegiance will encounter contrary winds. And there's no doubt about it. You will sure enter encounter some problems that have to do with your faith in Christ. Let me show you some of the examples from the Bible. Please do not think that you follow the will of God, all will be alright. Not necessarily so. You will encounter storms of life. First case, Moses. Moses would never felt rejected by a group of complaining people if he had not decided to obey the Lord at the burning bush. You see? Because he obeyed the Lord at the burning bush, the Lord said, go and deliver them out of Egypt and go to the promised land. And therefore, he had encountered all these kind of problems. All right? Moses. Obedience brings a lot of trouble, struggling. Daniel. Daniel would never have had to be in the lion's den if he had not decided to be faithful to God. What made him to enter into the lion's den? Because of his prayer, his devotion to God. And therefore, in the end, he ended up in the lion's den. Then Daniel and the three friends, you know his three friends, right? Would never be thrown into a fiery furnace if they had not decided to obey God's first and second commandment. All right, thou shalt not worship any other gods. And because of their obedience, faithful to God, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Paul, another case, would never have to face his stormy trials of the many stormy trials of his life and persecuted for his service for the Lord if he had just stayed in Tarsus, in the place where he lived, Tarsus. Because of obedience, he got into many of these troubles. You see, following Christ will take us into some fierce storm. But the rewards are great, are even greater than what you suffer. This is the blessing. And this is the difference between Jonah and the others. So the disciples were battling the storm and wondering if they would make it to the shore. They're wondering, they're thinking. All kinds of things come into their mind. Perhaps they also wonder, has the Lord forgotten us? What's the answer? All right, look carefully here. Answer is from Luke chapter 48. Luke 48 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, saw them toiling in rowing. The Lord saw them, what they were struggling. The Lord knows. The Lord saw them. And in John chapter 6, verse 17, tells us the situation at that time, it was dark. So dark, they cannot see far away. The Lord can see them, but the disciple cannot see the Lord. You see there? The Lord saw their problems, but the disciple did not see the Lord because it was now dark. The Lord knew their plight and had not forgotten them. He cared for them and would come to their aid. Similarly, in our time of darkness and great storms of life, it might seem as if God has forgotten us. But be assured, He has not. He knows, He cares, and He will come to our rescue. Let me read to you a passage of scripture from the book of Psalms, which is very precious. You all know this very well, but it ties in very well. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10. All right, then Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10. Psalm 139, verse 7. We read together, okay? 7 to 10, ready, go. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. What does that mean? No matter where you are, in darkness or in the light, isolated or in a public, wherever you go, the Lord is there. He is there to lead you. He is there to uphold you, to support you. This is a very important truth. You must believe, remember, and be assured of. Wherever we go, the Lord is there. He knows all the situations of our life. When we go through dark storm, it's easy to think He has forgotten us. The fact is that He knows the difficulties we are going through. Christ saw the disciple toiling and rolling helplessly. And yet, what did he do? He delayed in coming to them. He knew their thoughts. He knew they were wondering where he was. And yet, he chose to delay for a while. Finally, he came to their aid. Then you ask, why delay? I'm going to die, you know. Why the Lord delay? There are reasons for all these things. Perhaps to allow the disciples to exhort themselves in the struggle so they would fully rely on him, on God. Sometimes we cannot know, always know, why God waits or delay. We cannot know. But we can be assured that he knows everything and that he cares for us and will never abandon us. As Psalm 139 verse 10 says, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Matthew 14 verse 25. Only Matthew recorded this verse. Alright. What did Matthew say? In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Alright, walking on the sea. The Lord came to the disciple, evidently taking the same path that the boat had taken. Alright, disciple. Lord said, go this way. And he also went that way to meet the disciple. By doing so, Jesus went through what the disciple were experiencing. Our Lord was walking on the stormy sea with the angry waves as the pavement for his feet. That verse also tells us that Christ came to the disciple during the fourth watch of the night. That is between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. He came to his disciple during the darkest part of the night, when they were all totally exhausted, miserable, tired, and wondering if they were going to survive. You know, at the very, very end, then the Lord came to them. We would have encountered similar experiences like the disciples. We would think we know Christ. We know all about the Bible, we know Christ. But we will never know him any deeper until we have met him in the midst of the stormy sea. You may study the Bible a lot, hear a lot of messages, talk a lot, preach a lot. And you think you know a lot? Sometimes it's not. Until you go through, then you learn how to apply, how to trust. You see, there's a different thing between knowing and practicing. And this is what the Lord wants them to learn. The people of old learn it through this way. And one of the very famous person, you know, Job, an upright man, a man who feared God, and the Lord blessed him with many material blessings. And one day, all these things disappeared. And what happened? Not only disappeared, he was suffering, physical suffering. And the wife say, better curse God and die. Why worshipping this a God like that? Job suffered. Four friends came in, tried to encourage him, but in the end, putting his finger at him, he must have done a great sin. That's why he suffered so terribly. Job could not understand why. I've done nothing wrong, and yet I've gone through all this suffering. And he did not see a lot of things in this regard. But at the end of it, at the end of the suffering, you know what did Job say? I want you to turn to Job 42 verse 5. Job 42 verse 5. Job 42 verse 5 says, I have heard of thee, all right, by the hearing of the ear. He has heard a lot, he has learned a lot by the hearing of the ear. But now, my eye seeth thee. Now I can really see what is going on, what it's all about. You see, that's the difference between learning and seeing. Christ come to us in the midst of our storm. Unfortunately, we also see the perverseness of the human heart in this event. All right, Christ came, want to help them. What did they see? What did they see? All right, I show it to you. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, it is a ghost. It is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. You see the different thing they saw? When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They thought they saw what? A water demon. Have you heard of water demon? Oh, when I was young, I heard a lot of water demon because of people drowning. Say, oh, that person must be pulled down by the water demon. And this is what it is, you see? Oh, they were terrified. Coming, not only appearing, but coming towards them. Do you think? That is the case, the scenario. That's the thing that happened. And they're terrified of help, of the help coming to him. Often, the perversity of our heart causes us to push away God when he comes to us in our time of difficulties. Maybe his aid comes to us through someone we have rejected. We think impossible, how can that person help me? We are rejected. Or someone that will look down on them, or him or her. And that person is used by God to help us. And we reject the person. See, God's help comes from different ways. I encounter many through different ways. Some I know, some I do not know. As disciples were filled with the apprehension of apprehension, a voice piercing through the crashing storm saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, this is an interesting statement, no? I thank God Achai read it correctly. It's possible, but you read it correctly. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Immediately, the attitude of the disciples changed 180 degrees. They had heard the voice of Christ. See, Christ did not say, be not afraid. He did not say, be not afraid first. He said, it is I. That's important. It is I. When we focus upon Jesus, we will find Christ and receive his help. Not just stop. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Jesus said, it is I. I'm coming to you. When the disciples saw it, it was Jesus. Peter answered the Lord saying, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. That is wonderful, isn't it? Peter also want to walk on the water like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we notice that Peter stepped out and began to walk on the water. That is what faith causes us to do. Faith always causes us to do something impossible. If something possible, you do it, it's not so much as faith already. What are the things that is impossible? I just quote a recent example of the building of Calvary Church. $50 million, a small congregation, do not have the means to do so. But they have this conviction. Some of them have this conviction. They know that the Lord wants them to build. Because first of all, the Lord sent them there to do the work. And when they're growing, and the Lord will supply the needs. And they stood firm. And they built. You know the whole story, right? In the end, the church was there. $50 million in 2 years, raising $50 million. They never go around prophesying, telling people, help, help, help. No, no. No fanfare, no walkathon, nothing. Just a pure faith, trusting the Lord to supply all the needs. And the Lord supplied them. Helping them. And today you can see the church there. Now this is one of the many, many stories of how the Lord helped. Faith comes in when the Lord asks you to do something impossible. The walking on the Red Sea, crossing the Red Sea, something impossible. Right? The conquer of Jericho is something impossible. Although it looks so easy, just walking 7 rounds and the wall will fall. Something impossible. And Peter said, asked Jesus, Jesus, can I come to you? Come. And Peter walked. There is faith. He walks on the water. He walked on the water because of his faith. And he sang only when he began to turn his eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ. When he turned his eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you see? You see all the trouble coming in. All the storm, all the wave. He was afraid. He sank. That is lack of faith. Fortunately, Peter knew what to pray for at such a moment. When you're in great trouble, you must pray. And Matthew chapter 14, verse 30 tells us, I believe this is one of the shortest prayers. Prayer doesn't need to be very, very long. If too long, you feel sleepy sometimes. And here, very short. How many words? Three words. What are three words? Lord, save me! That's it. Very easy, right? That's what he prayed. And Jesus saved him. Then they walked back on the water to the boat. And verse 32, and when they come into the ship, the wind ceased. The wind ceased. This was truly a miracle. Jesus did not walk on the stone in the water. He did not walk near the shore. He really walked on the water, and Peter too. Jesus saved Peter from the drowning in the deep water of the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples saw the wind cease. Why the wind cease? Because the test is over. What Jesus Christ wants them to learn, everything's over. So the whole thing ceased. No more already. Do you learn the story there? The whole thing. Then what was the response of the disciple? Alright, verse 33, Matthew. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They begin to see all these things, connect all these things together. Oh, my friend, please do not doubt. Please do not say that, oh, Jesus is far away in heaven. No, Jesus is also with you. He's with you. He's up there and he is also with you. He's near you. You cannot see him, but he can see you. You see? So following Jesus is certainly bringing us into storms. It is inevitable that, and that is a promise. But it is comforting to know that he sees all, he understands all, and he cares for us all. Are we going through some storms of life? He sees, understands, and cares. Believe that. Rest in it and appropriate it. Rejoice in this understanding, and help is on the way. Help is on the way, though you may not see, you may not feel it or know it. My friend, the thing that we need to do is keep on believing. Keep on trusting. That's a lesson we should learn. We will experience what the disciple had received. So my friend, this is my message to all of you. He has encouraged me a lot, and I can understand all these things very clearly, because I've gone through many, many, many storms of life. Right? Through my 50 years of ministry, every chapter of life, I encountered all kinds of storms. Some dangerous, you see. Some no one can help. But the Lord helped me step by step, step by step, step by step. I encounter many problems of life with people also, especially when you are in the big church, a lot of ideas, opinions, this and that. Yeah, the Lord helped me to bring through. I did not fight, I did not argue. They say what they like, I do what I think is in the will of God, and just keep doing that. And the Lord lead me through. If you keep focusing on fighting, fighting, you get fed up. You see? So many, many ways. Sometimes financial needs also. The Lord provide to different people, different ways. I never ask people, but people know and they give. Even I'm not working enough for how many years already? Oh, the Lord provide enough. I'm happy. Sometimes I have something that I could not do, but the Lord sent people to help me. And one of the cases I mentioned before, I have a bicycle and the tube, the tire puncture, okay? So I cannot use. And one day I went to the bicycle shop, the cab, near Saunders, Westwood. And the man, I think he's the manager, he's in charge of the place. He asked me, how are you? I said, no good, very honest, no good. He said, why no good? I have problem with my bicycle. I cannot use anymore. Then he heard it. Okay, I help you. Tell me, give me your address. After my work, I will go to your place. I never experienced such a thing before. He was one of the top men in charge of the whole store. I help you. Not only help me, he come to my place and do the work for me. And truly he came. He asked his staff to call me and tell him that he's coming. And he went there and said something and repair everything for me. I want to give him the money. He said, no. It's my service for you. The Lord bless you. Never heard of. Not say good friend. Some of the good friend never do that also. You know, not to be true, you know, they never. Oh, I'm busy. You go, they give you a lot of suggestions. But this person said, I'll come. And he really came. Oh, I cannot understand. I see the hand of God leading me. And many other interesting stories I have. But this is of the truth. Of how God guides us through different ways, different problems. Yes, we encounter sometimes, don't know what to do. And the Lord helps. And every trials of life ends with joy. So I say this to encourage you. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Don't give up when trouble comes. Oh, people, we have more problems. We may not have problems materially, you know, we have enough, but we cannot run away. Our physical health cannot run away. One by one, our organs switching off, you know. And many, many things will come. I am no exception. I will have problems also. I know I will have problems. And coming soon, very soon. But I leave it to the Lord. The doctor asked me, are you afraid? No, no, no. I live day by day. When I finish my work, I go and see my Lord. No fear. Because I know where I'm going. I tell the truth. So I'm waiting for a special appointment. I don't know what is that all about. So may the Lord help you to understand. Trials of life is not always sad and bad. It strengthens you. Make you strong. You know that? It's not making you weak, making you strong. It is true. Trial of life make you strong. May you see more things, understand more things that people cannot see. So may God bless you. In our closing hymn, keep on believing. Chai, can you come and lead?